is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, thanks for being here this afternoon. Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools talking about what I'm calling the outgoing school year, though really it's not totally over with high school sports still going on. But for the district overall, how would you kind of evaluate the school year that's wrapping up?
Well, that's a great question. I guess I would just start by saying I'm really incredibly proud of the way our community and our students and our staff have persevered this year. There have been a lot of unknowns, and they've steadily tackled each new issue and found ways to keep our kids engaged and learning. Our parents have done a great job with that as well. Obviously, the top priority this year was keeping our kids safe and healthy, and we managed to do that. We made it to the end of the year without any evidence of COVID transmission in our schools. So from a health and safety standpoint, I think overall, we did pretty well.
What were some of the biggest challenges that were faced?
Well, how much time do we have here? Is that just a half an hour? I mean, I think a few come to mind. I could wrestle on this question probably as I reflect for the next several months. But the first one really is probably, the fact that we would receive health and safety information from several different agencies in Salem. So we had the Department of Education and then the Oregon Health Authority, and maybe it was the governor's office, who were really, I think, trying to figure out things as they went. So for us to interpret that data and apply that data, sometimes there were counterintuitive measures. Sometimes, schools, quite frankly, were put in a really difficult spot of monitoring, vaccines and things. So that was probably one of them. I think the other thing worth of note is, there was a fascinating intersection around politics and education. That's happened all across the country. We're not any different than that. So that was a really fascinating a challenge this year. We had people that, I think felt strong we were hurting kids by having masks on, for example. And so the politics, the intersection between politics and education was really a challenge this year. And I think overall, all of these issues, what was challenging is we managed all these issues around different, state agencies and people frustrated, I think, generally with conditions. That oftentimes slowed us down in the other improvements we needed to make in education.
Was there a segment of students that were maybe the most impacted?
Well, the one that comes to mind is we, sadly had kids that didn't participate in distance learning and also didn't show back up when we opened back up in schools. And I think that group was and has been really impacted. We've done lots of home visits. We've tried to track down several kids, but we have a segment of kids that never showed up. They didn't do school this year, period. They are kind of off the proverbial grid and, weren't interested in distance learning. And when we opened back up for one reason or another, decided not to come back. So I would say, certainly that segment is the one that's been on my mind the most throughout the year.
Well, and I'm aware of that going on. Somebody in the community was telling me about a family member of theirs who basically, though they're, say they're a teen, I'm not exactly sure what age they are, but in March of last year, when everything shifted, they just said, "I'm done."
Yeah. We unfortunately saw that. And again, it's difficult to judge because some people were concerned about the quality of irrelevancy of distance learning, and we had other people concerned about the virus and the spread, and would schools be healthy, and so. We're not really in a spot of wanting to judge people for their reasons, but we do know for those students who haven't participated in learning, there's a big impact there. And that impact probably spans more than just the academic deficiencies we might see with some kiddos.
What about the staff? How did they respond to all this?
Well, staff just did a tremendous job. I'm just super, super proud of the staff. They had lots of, pivots to make, a lot of shifts for them and the way they plan and deliver instruction. Their typical world was really kind of turned upside down. And they were, I think, trying to manage kids and families that were dysregulated and just upset about everything and concerned about things. And, they just went above and beyond. They, you know, from everything from the health and safety protocols to leaning into different ways to engage kids. Just really, really proud of our staff. Top to bottom, staff did a really tremendous job, from our food service workers to our instructional staff, our principals, and other supporting kids did a great job this year.
And just like a lot of other industries, you had for a period of time during the year, you had some of the staff working from home, but also managing the fact that their kids were at home, you know, doing distance learning, whatever.
Yeah, and it really didn't have much of that for the most part this year, with only one exception when the governor came out and had a mandate. But that just lasted about a week. Our staff have been on campus at our schools, and we felt like that was an important part of the profession to be at school and to be able to focus on that. So I think, you know, it's relatively unique across the state, but our staff have been at work every day, and even if we haven't had kids in front of us.
What kind of extra funding was provided by the state to address some of the things related to technology and other kind of extra expenditures you had to make to pull all this off?
Yeah, just like, you know, some businesses and families received some funding through COVID relief, the CARES Act. Our schools, there was something we call ESSER, which is the Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief Fund that came through federal COVID relief dollars. And much of that went to, and will continue to go, there's been three rounds of that, toward everything from providing hotspots for families that didn't have Wi-Fi access to computers to try to bridge that access gap.
Now, do you feel like you got enough extra funding?
I think that is to be still determined. Some of the funding in the ESSER 3 is intended to well, at least my interpretation of this is to look at some infrastructure issues. So some of that in the ESSER 1 and 2 money, that was spent pretty quickly. Just in terms of providing access for families. At one point, we had about a $25,000 a month bill for hotspot access, which is it's a lot of money. But we had families that that's the only way they could access education. The ESSER 3 funds, and we have about $12 million in ESSER 3 funds, there are some things we can do with those monies to think about infrastructure a little bit differently, ventilation, air quality, those kind of things. So, is it enough? I think that remains to be seen. It's what we have. We're super grateful for that. And, you know, we'll make sure to spend that in the best way possible.
And now with the technology in hand, whatever might get thrown at you in the future, at least you've got some of that.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was one of the questions I asked when I arrived a little less than 2 years ago. You know, there was a question about, hey, we're trying to get the one-to-one technology, every kid with some device. And the question I asked is, so what do we hope to accomplish with that? And we know there's some benefits to that. There's certainly some drawbacks to that if that's all we do as well. But it does give us an opportunity to think about learning management systems and making sure kids have access and parents can be connected to the work kids are doing. So moving forward, we are at a spot to be one-to-one. And now it's just making sure we use that technology to improve outcomes.
And at points, and maybe this is more the case of the spring of the prior school year, but there was kind of a lag, too. You were suddenly needing a lot of things that didn't seem to be available.
That is true. Schools were certainly a part of the supply chain challenges that most of us have encountered. Certainly business owners have encountered that. We were able to acquire what we needed, which was great, fight around price a little bit on many of those things, which seemed like there was some increases in price that I questioned. But we have those and enough money for some replacement things as well.
Once you evaluate the quality of the online distance learning this past year, especially versus what was offered at the end of the prior year.
Yeah, it's not even close. Really, truly, we were in a crisis situation in the spring of the previous year where we really, you know, schools shut down and we really had not invested in the kind of things that would help us deliver high quality remote education. And we were reeling. And I think a lot of school districts were reeling. We had no learning management system on the back end and front end in terms of infrastructure and capability and security. We just weren't where we needed to be. It was something we were working on prior to the pandemic, but it forced us into moving those parts of the organization quickly and differently. And this year has been a much different experience for our kids. and for our staff who aren't necessarily having to learn everything on the fly. We're able to, you know, provide more infrastructure and training and development and ongoing training for staff. And I think our kids and families have found this year remotely to be much, much different than the previous spring.
And was there help coming in from the state or other people as, you know, there was kind of the big shift and how do we do this and how do we get it better?
Not really. Most of that we really did in-house, which I think was good for us to do that. From a professional learning standpoint, we really took the lead on that here in our school district.
All right, Superintendent Jared Cordon on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back to interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson coming up at 1. Superintendent Kate McLaughlin of the South Umpqua School District will be on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. Superintendent Jared Cordon of Roseburg Public Schools talking about the school year wrapping up. So how far behind academically do you feel like students are given all the challenges?
Well, in looking at early data, many of our students have continued to meet state standards, which is great. We have to wait for some additional data to come out from Department of Education, and we decided to do some state testing this year, and it does give us a better sense of where kids are at this year. We'll likely see the effects of the pandemic for several years to come, but we have many students that are on track. You know, one of the areas we look at in terms of like the high school, for example, we've got on-track data. Are our freshmen on track, for example? And that number has fallen pretty significantly. We've been around between 85 to 90% of those kids on track, and that number's down in the 70% range, right about 70% right now. So behind, but we're confident we can get kids back up as long as they are with us.
Now, were there some areas where, I mean, I think about like vocational things during the time that kids weren't there as much or whatever, were those more impacted?
I mean, I think we've had to think differently. We've had, the high school was open 2 days a week, so our CTE and vocational programs ran that whole time. They ran online as well. A little challenging to do some of those things online.
Yeah,
welding online is a little challenging.
You...
FFA online is a little challenging. But our kids did great. They stuck with it. And as ODE started to loosen some restrictions, we were able to get some small groups in there to re-engage kids. And so, our kids did a really good job. They were super persistent, as were our staff. But I think there are certainly vocational is one of those things in which we really had to think differently. How do you provide those things that are really pretty hands-on by design if you only have half the amount of time or beginning of the year weren't able to come in?
Yeah, I mean, you have a virtual cow. I mean, how does that work? So what about summer instructional opportunities? I understand you've got some funding to do things you don't normally do.
Yeah, we do, and that's really exciting. Kudos and thanks to the legislature who pushed some dollars forward to kind of extend the year for our kiddos. And really, it's intended to do two things, and that's address some unfinished learning, but also provide that spark again for kids as they maybe haven't been in school or it's been a different year. We've got a large number of staff who are going to be teaching and primarily teaching things they're excited about, and kids are also choosing things they're excited about. And it really spans from a wide variety of things, everything from microbiology to podcasting to outdoor activities. So it should be really a great experience for both staff and for kids and families to have something in the summer to do. It's no cost for them. And also provides, again, that spark of what do I like to do? Because the truth is, if we can get that with kids and you really get that spark going around learning and creativity, which is what we should do, it really will help them in all aspects of life.
So how are things slated to look for this fall?
We're 100% committed to coming back full time. We expect a 5-day return in the secondary schools to a 7-period day like we were before. We're still awaiting guidance from the Department of Education. It is not out yet on next year, but by all indications, and I've been in pretty constant contact with them this year. We are anticipating a full return to school again.
Now, what percentage of families are opting to stay in distance learning for their kids?
Yeah, I don't have the exact percentage today. We have a number of families who are interested in that. We've had, we really this year had a pretty high number of families that did continue to remain. And again, I felt strongly we need to provide that choice for families as they felt comfortable. So if families weren't interested in coming back, we had some people say, well, it's because it's only, you know, 2 days a week, 4 days a week. Our elementary schools, as a reminder, been open since January full-time. And we had about 280 families at the elementary level who decided to stay distance learning. We'll see. I think we have families really waiting to see what the guidance says. You know, are kids going to have to wear masks? What are the social or physical distancing going to look like? But I think we'll have some families that do choose that, and that option's fine. I've readjusted some staffing, and we'll have our teachers teaching next year in those classes. But it kind of remains to be seen. I expect we could see somewhere, you know, between 5% to maybe fewer.
Now, you have, and I don't remember what it's called, but you've got essentially a distance school in terms of where these teachers are going to be that are dealing with this.
Right. So we have at the elementary K-5, we have our K-5 staff that are here on site. They're going to be at Rose Elementary School, and they'll be providing remote learning. What'll be different this year is they'll be able to come in, visit with a teacher, still conference, and have that in-person connection. The secondary school, the virtual program will be housed at, virtually, but at each of our three sites. We're working with a company called Apex. They've been around for a long time, do really great work. And that remote option will happen with Apex staff this year, along with our staff doing some coaching support.
So the teachers that are doing that, then are they just dealing with the distance kids?
They are. And one thing that will look different this year is we won't have this for those parents and kiddos that are listening that were like, yeah, and staff. The secondary was a challenge this year because we had staff that were teaching with kids in person as well as kids online. And so by design this year, it'll either be a remote option or an in-person option. Staff won't be doing both. One exception could be, remains to be seen with the guidance around next year, is what happens in quarantines. But by design, we won't have a blended option.
Now, what about staffing? I mean, have you had to add more people overall to make all this work?
It's really been reassignments, to be honest with you. We haven't really added so much to fill those needs. As we have families choosing remote options, then we'll shift staff to do that and work with them. As more families migrate maybe to in-person, we'll move that. So we haven't really seen a need to add a tremendous amount of staffing. It's really about reassigning where people are.
About a minute left on Inside Douglas County. Over the past 16 months, what are some of the biggest things you've learned?
Great question. Yeah, I would go back and just say I am super proud of this community. I think one thing I have learned is we have a community that cares deeply about its kids. I've had countless numbers of people reach out and just say, what can we do to help our kids? And it really has been heartwarming to see how people are interested in helping our kids be successful. They really do, I think, understand here that they are our most valuable resource. So I have a greater kinship and respect for our community. I'm really proud of to be here, to live here, and to serve our kids here.
And do you think there's anything you would want to repeat about the past 16 months?
You know, I think there's been moments of reflection. We've learned some things, and I think we'll get better. But another year like this, it probably has been, at least in my career, probably the most challenging year, at least in education, I've seen. So a repeat of that willingly, no. But if it gets to that, we'll do it again.
Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you.
1257 at News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.